And good morning. Welcome to La Porte Church of Christ. It is April 19th, 2026, which marks the 251st anniversary of the shots that were fired at Lexington on Concord today, and a lot of other events that have actually happened on today. We had that in 1775. We had Waco in 93. We had Oklahoma City bombing. A lot of people, a lot of different events that have actually happened on this day throughout history. But before we get started, let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this day that you've given us. And we just ask, Father, that you shine your face down upon us as we gather together, those that gather with us here in person and those that gather with us throughout the internet and through DVD Church, Lord, we come before you today and we thank you for this day that you've given us. And we know that this is the day that the Lord has made and we will rejoice in it. Lord, we thank you, Father, for this day that you've given us. We thank you for the covenant of your blood that you've given us, Lord. And as we gather together, we ask that you just pour out your wisdom and knowledge and understanding upon us, that you give us more today, that you continue to protect us and your people, and we ask that we continue to awaken your people. We're trying our darndest to get people to wake up, Lord, and we just pray that you assist us in that. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. Well, we're going to start off with a song, and I believe this one is Blaze of Glory.
Let's march on in this blaze of glory. All good things will win, like all heroes in his story. Let's fight on like he fights sin in his blaze of glory. There they are, hearty heart. They'll fall hard when we get started. Let's follow Jesus and cast out sin. Let's march on in his blaze of glory. All good things will win, like all heroes in his story. Let's fight on. In his blaze of glory. Let's not sin nor hurt each other. That would be our worst mistake. Once again, let's follow Jesus. Now the time for his name's sake. Let's march on in his blaze of glory. All good things will win, like all heroes in his story. Let's fight on like he fights sin. March on in his blaze of glory. All good things will win, like all heroes in his story. Let's fight on like he fights sin in his blaze of glory. Let's march on in his blaze of glory. All good things will win, like all heroes in his story. Let's fight on like he fights sin in his blaze of glory. Let's fight on. by sin in his blaze of glory. In his blaze of glory.
Amen. Well, I know that message that we had earlier by Pastor Peters was quite a bit long, and so it carried over, so we're going to have to move on rather quickly. But I hope you did enjoy that message. Had several people that wrote in this last week, and we've had several people that contacted us and wanted us to talk about the food laws. And then after we started talking about it, there were several people that wrote in they never heard anything about it. They wanted to know what Pastor Peters had to say about the food laws. And so went through the archives, was able to find that message. And I know he did several on the subject, but that's the one that I've been able to find so far. I hope you enjoyed it. To me, it was just a pretty cut and dry and plain and simple. Anyway, it was titled Bible Health and Food Laws, Part 1. And anyway, we're going to move on. We've got, looking at the clock, we don't have a whole lot of time. But we got a scriptural insight and study from Pastor Peters that was recorded a number of years ago. And we're going to have that coming up right about now.
And greetings in the blessed holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I greet the lost and the found sheep of the house of Israel. Our Father in heaven, I pray that you would see to it through this prayer and the prayers of those that join me in this prayer, that the food fed in this scriptural insight and study would not be too strong or too hard to digest for the many, that I pray that all would be able to grasp the words that your Son gave us long ago. And though it might seem far out that they might understand, they are in the Scriptures. And the Scriptures still stand, regardless of where people stand in their opinions and their thoughts. And so, Heavenly Father, these thoughts that you've given to me, I proclaim on the rooftop, so to speak, and I ask that you would see to it that they would not return void, but that they might be eye-opening thoughts, that people might begin to see more and more what they need to see in this day and age of the serpents. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I think we'll start with this scriptural insight and study with a passage that Jesus gives us in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew gives it to us. It's Jesus speaking. And it'll help you understand why I'm speaking on what I'm speaking on. I was asked what to title this scriptural insight study just as I sat down in the chair here. And so I told Jason back there behind the camera, I said, put down instincts that stink. And by the time that we're over getting over these scriptures, looking at some of them that I have in mind, maybe you'll understand what I mean. You know, some people think that this world is beautiful. And I was thinking one day, I guess a cow pie looks kind of beautiful, a fresh plop cow pie to a blowfly. And that's about the kind of beauty we got in this world today. It's a stinking mess because we have a bunch of stinking snakes that have escaped the sentence of hell up until now. And now it's time for someone to see to it that their sentence of hell is carried out through imprecatory prayer. And I just was convicted by the Holy Spirit at the beginning of the year 2010, that this was to be a year for men to become men of God again and become snake stompers again and to speak out against all this sin that is in the world that is not only destroying our country, but it's destroying lives, it's destroying families, and someone is enjoying it. Like I said, a fresh plopped cow pie is a paradise to a blowfly. Well, these serpents that Jesus talked about, they are going about doing their bidding from their father, the devil, and somebody needs to tell about it. So these words that I'm going to be telling you about, I spoke on the radio this week at the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, and I thought we should bring them here in this study. First of all, let's go there to that passage in Matthew chapter 10. It says, "Therefore do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And I think we'll stop there. And as I was reading the scriptures there, I was thinking about how Jesus, as he spoke there in Matthew chapter 13 to the serpents, he said the blood from righteous Abel to Zechariah lay in your hands. That was the very latter part of Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23 is a scathing, a verbal scathing. Now, sometimes you people think Pastor Peters is too harsh, too rough, too tough. I tell you, when Jesus got done calling them a bunch of whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones, when he kept calling them hypocrites, 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 when he called them serpents and brood of vipers, he was being tough, man. And when John the Baptist saw certain ones coming, they walked on two legs, and he said, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to escape the sentence of hell?" He was being very bold, straightforward, and, "Well, John the Baptist, you're going to run people off." That's how some people say it with Pastor Peters. I can't take someone to Pastor Peters' website because he'll scare them off. We never know what he's going to say. There are some things that have got to be said. And sometimes I think what the Lord gives me, I think, "Lord, you want me to get up on the housetop and to shout this out? What are people going to think?" Well, it doesn't make any difference. Just do what I say. And he said that if something is given to me in darkness or whispered in my ear, that I am to proclaim it on the housetop. Now, with that said, I think I'll go to a passage where the Apostle Peter wrote about the instincts of certain creatures. I like this translation very much, the New American Standard, in 2 Peter chapter 2. We read, "But these, like unreasoning animals," and let's get it down, "these, like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct." I want you to see that you might think that Peters is tough. You might think that Jesus and John the Baptist is tough. The truth is tough if you don't want to believe it. "These, like unreasoning animals," there are those that are like unreasoning animals, "born as creatures of instinct, to be captured and killed, reveling where they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed. Suffering wrong is the wages of doing wrong. They count it a pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are stains and blemishes, reveling in their deception. as they carouse with you. Now, what does that mean? Who was he writing that to? Christians. And he was telling those Christians, there were those with them that were carousing with them and reveling in their deception. They appeared to be one of them, but they actually reveled in deceiving them. Those who were, the King James says, brute beasts. This translation says, as animals, creatures of instinct. They have an absolute instinct. Jesus told us of their instinct in Matthew 23. And for some reason, the Holy Spirit's been directing me for the year 2000 to start off with that passage of Matthew 23. That's the snake passage. And he points out in Matthew 23 one of their instincts. I want to read there. It says, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from men. Now, that's their instinct. They shut the kingdom of heaven off from men. For you do not enter yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to enter in. So their job, their instinct, it's an absolute instinct, is to keep you from entering in. Now, Jesus said to them in another passage there, Matthew 23, I think I put it down. He said this to them. He said, you serpents, you brood of vipers, how shall you escape the sentence of hell? Now, I thought I got a solid hit on that right at the first of the year when we did our 24-hour live broadcasting marathon on our Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. But I come to realize it was only a partial hit. There's more to it. I said that they found the answer to that question. How shall you escape the sentence of hell? In other words, how are you going to escape death? What did Peter mean when he said about these creatures of instinct that they were to be hunted down and killed? Are we supposed to take guns and go running them down? No, that is not what is being taught here. We're dealing in spiritual warfare. Now, these serpents are here. We hear the term they all the time. Well, how are they to be taken out? They're not going to be taken out because, let me put it this way, they're not going to be taken out until. And they're not going to be taken out until because they figured out the answer to the question that Jesus asked. How shall you escape the sentence of hell? As long as they can keep us, if there's a they, there's an us. And as long as they can keep us from praying imprecatory prayer against them, that's part of the answer to that. Praying imprecatory prayer against them. Imprecatory prayer is another way of saying a curse. Now, what I'm talking about, this phenomenon, is nothing new. If you go over to Psalms chapter 55, in Psalms 55, you'll find that David experienced this, and boy, what an experience it is when it happens to you. How these serpents can appear to be men of God and really be your friend. And he says there in verse 12 of Psalms 55, he says, I read, it says, for it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me. Then I could hide myself from him. But it is you, a man my equal, my companion, and my familiar friend. We who had sweet fellowship together walked in the house of God in the throng. And we'll just stop there, because if you go on from there, you'll see that he gave an imprecatory prayer. Now, as long as they can keep us from praying imprecatory prayers, they escape the sentence of hell. But then I found there's more to that answer. They instinctively know. It's just like, well, animals that have instinct. Birds flying south when it gets cold in the fall. It's not that they say, hey, I've checked the calendar and I think it's time to go. It's an instinct. They just absolutely go in order to preserve their species. They go south in the winter. They fly north in the summer. Well, you'll find that these serpents stay away from the water of baptism. We go over to Mark chapter 16. Now, in Mark 16, there is given the Great Commission. Let's read it. It says in Mark 16, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly poison, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, I could do a whole scriptural insight and study just on that one passage in Mark chapter 16. That's the Great Commission. How shall we escape the sentence of hell? The serpents say. Jesus said that to them anyway. Jesus said, you shall pick up serpents. When did he say that? He said that in the Great Commission after he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And that word pick up means to take away, to weigh anchor, to remove. They know that they will not be removed. They know that they have an answer to that question. How shall you escape the sentence of hell? As long as they can keep you out of the kingdom. And how do they keep you out of the kingdom? Keeping you from that command of the Great Commission. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, when you are baptized, the Bible baptism, the one baptism that Ephesians 4, 4, 5, and 6 speaks of, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. When you are baptized, as Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. That's four. That's not four, it's four. The remission of sins, you Baptists. I don't care if you're a black Baptist or a white Baptist. It's four. The remission of sins. Then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, that Holy Spirit opens eyes. We're going to go next to Isaiah chapter 52, starting with verse 1, and we can tie these two together. In Isaiah chapter 52, verse 1, we'll read that in a minute, but if you want to take them out, you've got to be able to have the Holy Spirit at least give you the insight that they're there. And I want you to see there, Mark 16:16 comes before Mark 16:19 when he said, we'll pick up serpents. Now, that's not some snake that's crawling on the ground that you pick up. These are the two-legged kind, and you pick up on them that they're real. They're there. They'll go to the house of the Lord with you. They'll carouse with you. They revel in their deception, and they are creatures of instinct. They instinctively keep you away from baptism. It took me years, and finally it's come to me to understand this. Why do these preachers in the land today, and many of them have many good things to say, they have insight into scriptures, they can see things, but why is it that they cannot see Mark 16:16? Instinct. Instinctively, they keep you away from it because, you see, they want to be leaders. Instinctively, they know that blind guides are not going to be followed by those that can see. And so, if they're going to be blind guides, they got to guide the blind. And, of course, Jesus said, if the blind guide the blind, they both fall into the pit. Well, instinctively, they just cannot see Acts 2:38. They cannot see Mark 16:16. I used to think they were just absolutely, totally dishonest, dumb, stupid. I couldn't figure it out until, and now I'm shouting it out, they have an instinct. It's a genetic thing. And that is a part, we're now getting far out. I've got some things right here. You might say some sermons on the back burner that I want to bring in 2010 that has to do with DNA, has to do with that ancient book called the Book of Enoch that was once in the canon. And sometimes I think to myself, Lord, do I dare tell all of this to the people? Well, it's time. You know, it's a time for this truth to come. And the truth is, not all that look like men are men. Jesus told us that when he said, of your father, the devil. Now, he called them serpents. And they just do certain things by instinct. So instinctively, they got to keep you away from the water. So when are we going? How shall you escape the sentence of hell? Instinctively, they know they must keep us from praying in precatory prayer. So the serpents in the pulpits have taught you and me, judge not, lest thou be judged. Those kind of prayers don't belong in the Christian's life. Prayers like David prayed. You just read Psalms 55. You read on past where we were reading there about when he found out what he had next to him was a snake. That was an imprecatory prayer he prayed against them. But they teach us, oh, you shouldn't pray that way. And then they make sure that we are not baptized in that watery grave of baptism. Now, it's prophesied in Isaiah 52 of an awakening. Let's start with verse 1. It says, awake, awake. Clothe yourself in your strength, O Zion. Clothe yourself in your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. Now, let's stop there a second. We'll come right back to it in a moment. But what is he talking about? We put out in the year 2009 a documentary called DC Street Sorcery. And now we're taking budget money and making a sequel. That's our plan anyway, to DC Street Sorcery. I thought it was interesting how some of you dirty Slytherin snakes all of a sudden wanted to attack Pastor Peters right after he did that DC Street Sorcery. And you tell me, oh, you know, you're getting too much involved with the devil. We showed the magic of these devil's children in that DC Street Sorcery. And I'm going to put a plug in here. Go to dcstreetsorcery.com on the internet and you'll be able to understand what I'm talking about. It's a spell. But people are waking up because in 2009 we were praying the pistol prayer and the rifle prayer continually. and people are waking up. What happens when they wake up? Go back to that scripture, Isaiah 52:1. Clothe yourself in your strength, in your beautiful garments. What is that? The Bible says, all ye that were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Galatians 3:27, I believe it is. You put on the righteousness of Christ. Going back to that scripture now, in Isaiah 52:1. Clothe yourself in your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for the uncircumcised and the unclean will no longer come unto you. Now, we won't go further. I wrote a whole book called America the Conquered based on that scripture. But notice that suddenly after they wake, after they are clothed with their beautiful garments, which comes through baptism, then they see the uncircumcised and the unclean, and it's then that they will no longer come in amongst us. And so instinctively, it's an instinct that stinks. Instinctively, they have taught us not to judge, to love everybody. We're all the same. There's no difference. Don't pray these kind of prayers. And as far as baptism goes, they have worked very hard to keep that plan of salvation from you. Now, I can see my time's about to run out. We have prepared for 2010 a little evangelistic tool called Don't Miss Out. There's a lot of things people don't want to miss out on in life, but if you miss this, you've missed eternal life itself. And it's to counter the faith-only doctrine that the serpents... Jesus said in Matthew 23, there were sons of hell, and then there were twofold more sons of hell. Does a serpent know he's a serpent? I don't know. I don't know if we need to know. I just know that if he is, he does things by instinct. Is that saying, Pastor Peters, that everybody that teaches or fails to teach, let's put it that way, Mark 16:16 is a serpent? No. Jesus said, in Matthew 23, he said, you'll travel land and sea to make one proselyte, and when you do, you make him twofold more a son of hell than you. Well, some of them are just twofold more sons of hell, but there's hope for them. They can escape the sentence of hell if they will repent. And so don't fail to give this tract to preachers. There are some out there that will repent. And they will start preaching the true gospel because they're just teaching what was taught to them. But we want this tract passed out, and we'll give them to you. You write to us. Go to our website. You can order it at scripturesforamerica.org, or you can write to us at P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. We want you to make it your goal to reach out and reach someone. Target someone in prayer this coming year of 2010 and hand them this tract, this little book, 11 pages, easy to read, and then come back and ask them what they thought of it, because it teaches the truth of Mark 16:16 that the serpents are keeping from them. Now, the information in this tract and the information in this one called What Does Acts 2:38 Mean? Because these serpents in the pulpits will try to tell you, well, it doesn't mean four. Both of these tracts will be in our coming Scriptures for America newsletter magazine, the volume one for 2010. We want 2010 to be a year of increase. I want you to increase in prosperity, increase in health. I want the numbers increased. And those numbers will be increased. We've got to counter the instinct of the snakes. They have taught a faith-only doctrine, just a John 3:16 of belief. And they do it. I'm confident now it's just instinct. But that's all right. We're going to pick up these snakes. And we do it by not allowing them to escape the sentence any further. We use imprecatory prayer, and we bring baptism for the remission of sins to the to the world as we go into 2010, and we're going out of time now because we're about out of time. Instincts that stink. I hope it makes sense. I proclaimed it on the rooftop. It's going to get out there. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless those of you that are His, bless you, keep you, make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you, and lift His countenance upon you and grant you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Am I muted, Justice? Okay. Got it. It's going to take a fight up. And we're back. Take two. That's what happens when you're live. Well, I hope you enjoyed that scriptural insight and study with Pastor Peters. Got an email from somebody this week and asked about some more baptism information. And I'm thankful that we are still sending it out. We've got several of these books, and if anybody would like them, we do offer these free of charge. What does Acts 2:38 mean? Don't Miss Out is another really good one. Baptism Truths of the Great Commission. We've sent thousands and thousands of these books out over the years. And How to Become a Christian. If you'd like any one of those for yourself or to share with somebody else, just let me know and I'll make sure and get them sent out to you. We've reprinted all of these numerous amount of times. And just fantastic information. Was thankful. I did get two calls this last week. One was from a man back east. I think he was in Massachusetts, and the other one was from Maine. And it was two people that just called to let me know that, praise the Lord, they got baptized this last week. We'd been sending them information. They studied. They had a few questions. Was able to talk with them over the last couple of weeks. And they called in and said that they found at a Church of Christ, were able to get baptized for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus. So praise the Lord for that. That was encouraging and good to hear. So we've been sending out stuff like crazy and getting stuff into the prisons as well. So that's been a blessing as well. We don't have a whole lot of time. It seemed like I picked a couple long messages today. The scriptural insight and study was an extra couple minutes long, and Pastor Peter's message was long. So we're going to go ahead and go right to communion. And we've got a timeless communion message by Pastor Peters. I ran across this one a couple weeks ago and put it in the save file, and I just felt like sharing it with you guys this morning. I hope you enjoy it.
We're going to remember that precious blood about now in this part of the service, because we come together every first day of the week, just as the early church did, in obedience to the command, this do in remembrance of me. And there is so much to remember when it comes to Jesus shedding His blood on the cross. Hallelujah. I like to bring to remembrance different things at the time of communion talk. The body of Christ. You're added to that body when you're baptized into Christ. I got good news for you today. Today, we are going to be baptizing a man that came all the way from Missouri. That's where he came from, right? Just to get baptized. You've been watching us on the internet. Can we say hallelujah? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. And you can start passing out communion now, and I need mine as well. I'll take that now. I have prayed over this loaf and this cup. And when you're added to the body, you are to abide in him. And one of the ways you abide in him is to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. And so we do at communion. And I try to bring to mind remembrance of different things. Now, the message today is going to be entitled Sheep, Snakes, Sorcery, and Spells. And I want you to think of Jesus at this time. Some think of him as the Son of God. Nothing wrong with that. The Bible teaches that. And at times we think of that. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I mean, if you've had an only begotten Son, you cannot think of a greater gift to give. And we think of him as the Lamb. I've often said those words that John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." We think of him as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. But now today, I want you to think of him for what he is. Serpent. Oh, no wonder people get upset with Pastor Peters. You don't want to think of Jesus as a serpent, do you? Well, think again. He likened himself to a serpent. We go to John chapter 3. And there's a reason I bring this up, not just to be original or to offend, but I have prayed, as we prayed over this loaf today, I prayed some real curses in it for the cursed snakes that would dare to come and partake with us of that loaf and to drink of that blood. But I prayed the blessing, all the blessings that are ours in Christ in this communion for us to partake. Now, it says in John chapter 3, verse 12, we begin, John 3:12. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up. What did he compare himself to? To the serpent that was lifted up. Now, in years gone by, I used to show when in the early days of my Christianity, a film strip, as we use it in evangelism, that told about the story of God calling his people out of Egypt. And in that story, it told about how Moses took his staff and he threw it on the ground and it became a what? And the magicians were able to do the same thing. They took their staff, threw it on the ground, and became a serpent. And then the film always pointed out that Moses' serpent swallowed up the other serpents. But, you know, it took me years to realize that wasn't true. Don't you love coming to this church? The reason you come because you're a bunch of truth junkies. Well, then what is true? Of course, we don't really like you, Pastor Peters, because you set us up all the time. I wasn't trying to set you up. I mean, it's interesting how we see these things, but really when you look in the Scriptures, you'll see that Moses' staff swallowed up their staffs. Now that staff, as I pointed out in the past, represents what? Authority. And when Christians start walking in the authority that the Lord Jesus Christ has given them, then they have the power. You see what I'm saying? And the other side is just banking on the fact we never figure that out. The children of Israel were delivered with Moses and Aaron, but they had to have that staff with them. It's a very interesting story that I've taught in the past concerning that staff and where it came from. Joseph had that staff, by the way. But anyway, that staff today represents authority. And his authority, his staff, swallowed their staff. But back on the snake part of the story, his staff did become a snake, and theirs became a snake, but his staff swallowed theirs. Now, Jesus said that he was lifted up like Moses lifted up the serpent. One thing you have to be careful about in your Christian walk is that the Bible teaches this very clearly. See to it that no root of bitterness spring up within you and the many be defiled by it. Now, I want you to know that I have to continually fight bitterness, just as you do. Because you let a little bit of a root get into you, and pretty soon, it's got you. Amen? It's the poison of the serpent that just comes into you. Well, I suspect you, like me, and those of you out there, have sometime in your life been snake-bitten. Oh, it hurts. Oh, it hurts. It really hurts when it's someone you trusted, someone you did good to, someone you never even suspected, and then they return your good with evil. Am I just talking to myself, or am I talking to the choir? And then the snake bites. That serpent snake, Satan, sits back and smiles and watches that old poison begin to work in you, because it'll take you down. One thing I was taught by the men that taught me in Bible college is that if you keep your heart right with God, no man can destroy you. Well, sometimes that's easier said than done, amen? And sometimes you just have to come to the Lord, and you have to lift up your eyes to that bronze serpent. We go to Numbers chapter 21 for that story. Story that I think the Spirit brought to me to bring at this communion time. It's the story of the fiery serpents. And we start with verse 5. Numbers 21. And we'll read from there on down several verses. It says, "And the people spoke against God and Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this miserable food." And sometimes that happens. We just get the belly aching. After we get out of a soft, warm bed with a feather pillow, after we've taken a warm shower, hot and cold water that even the kings of old couldn't imagine, and after we look at the clothes in our wardrobe there in the closet, and after we fill our bellies full, then we bellyache. Am I just preaching to myself? No. Now, I want to tell you something. Ungratefulness is one of the things that Deuteronomy chapter 28 says brought the wrath of God, because you didn't serve the Lord thy God for all the good things that he brought in your life with thankfulness. We should be thankful, amen? And here he gave no greater gift than Jesus Christ. But bellyache, bellyache. Let's go back to the scripture. What did God do? "And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died." Now I want to stop and say this. You can die. You can die of snake bite. One of the ways it comes about is, I think there's a whole lot of cancer in this world today that is caused by the poison of bitterness. Would you agree with me, doctor? I've seen it. Seen enough over years. It happens. That's why you don't want any root of bitterness. That's not the only illness that can come. But anyway, we read on in that story. So the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and you." I want to say, stop there a second. We'll come back to that very verse in a moment. But, you know, if you want to return to the Lord, you crucify self, you flush pride out of your life, and you say, "I have sinned." And praise God, it says so clearly that when we draw near to Him, He what? He draws near to us. We have a loving, forgiving, heavenly Father. Amen. Back to the Scripture. And so the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned because you have spoken against, we have spoken against the Lord and you." What's this "and you" bit? This "and you" bit is this. Moses. It's, oh, we got people today, they love the Lord, but they hate Moses. Law. It just don't quite fit. It's too harsh. And we don't want it in our land. Back to the Scripture. So the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and you. Intercede with the Lord that He may remove the serpents from us." And Moses interceded for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard. And it shall come about that anyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he shall live." And when we come to communion, we look up. And we look up to Christ, who said, liken Himself to that serpent that was hung on the bronze staff. There's healing in communion. Can you receive that? And can you see how this communion story fits sometimes our life? Oh, Heavenly Father, we return to You. We return with repentance. Forgive us of our known and our unknown sins, Heavenly Father. Create within us a clean heart and a steadfast spirit by that cleansing power of the blood. Oh, Heavenly Father, we know it's the Lamb of God that we eat today as we come to this communion table. But we also know as we look to the cross where He hung for our sins, that He became that serpent that heals us, that overcomes all the serpents of the world in their snake bite. Oh, Heavenly Father, if there be any root of bitterness now, we purge it out, as You said, to purge out the leaven. We humbly come with gratefulness and thanksgiving. We've been blessed with every kind of blessing imaginable, but the greatest blessing is Your Son and the eternal life that's promised to us through Him. We're grateful. And now we gratefully partake of this meal, knowing that the angels gather with us, and that our King abides with us. We eat of His flesh. I've already prayed over this loaf, and you know the prayer that I prayed. Oh, there are so many that could take it or leave it, don't care about it. But to us, Lord, it's food for our soul. And now we eat it in remembrance of our King. You may partake. Heavenly Father, I hold in my hand power. Power in the blood. It's so powerful, it cleanses and makes clean. And gratefully we drink of it in remembrance. Bless us as we do. You may partake.
There's a spirit in our land, raising up the kind of man, with a burning in his heart to be free. Like the preacher men of old, he can't be bought, he can't be sold. What did they preach? They preached liberty to a people who loved their liberty. Liberty to exercise of their God-given rights, granted them at the time of their birth. The right to speak, bear arms and pray, worship God on land and say, from that law we will keep our people free. Through the jury we'll guard our liberty. They call the king into accounting for his disregard of law, told their people not to yield before his threats. For God established rulers to protect the rights of man and ordained government to fit into his plan to maintain his people's liberty. Liberty to exercise all their God-given rights, granted them at the time of their birth. The right to speak, bear arms and pray, worship God on land and say, from that law we will keep our people free. Through the jury we'll guard our liberty. Such preacher men today show our people the way to redeem their lost liberty. The fires of hell cannot prevail against one man who'll take a stand from the pulpit, expose tyranny, and teach his people liberty. Liberty to exercise all their God-given rights, granted them at the time of their birth. The right to speak, bear arms and pray, worship God on land and say, from that law we will keep our people free. Through the jury we'll guard our liberty. Liberty to exercise all their God-given rights, granted them at the time of their birth. Jury says, not guilty, we choose to acquit. The state was wrong to charge him. This law is not fit for a people who love their liberty.